turn with me tonight, if you would, to the book of Revelation, chapter number 4. Revelation, chapter number 4 tonight. Continue our study in the book of Revelation. I know I preached a little bit from Revelation, chapter 4 this morning, and I will not repeat that, hopefully, what I preached this morning. Who knows? But Revelation, chapter 4, I want to look at some things here. I mentioned this morning, whenever we was reading those verses of Scripture about the throne, some things around the throne, some things before the throne, some things out of the throne. And we're going to look at some of those tonight. We won't get through all of them, but we'll look at some of them. And you just pray that the Lord will open up our hearts of understanding. Amen. But chapter 4 through the rest of the chapter, the rest of the book, is prophetic. It's future events, and that's where people get interested. But where a lot of people fail in studying the book of Revelation, they think that the church is going through the tribulation. And I've said it before, and I'll continue to say it as long as God gives me breath to breathe. The church will not go through the tribulation. Amen. God's not appointed His children under wrath. And we find that even in the Scripture that we read in chapter number 3. It does away with that, because the Bible says in chapter number 3, verse number 10, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also would keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." Those that are faithful, those that are true to God and has certainly accepted Christ as their Savior, God has promised to remove them and not put them through the hour of temptation, which will come upon all the world. And so we understand in studying that the tribulation period, the church will not go through that. So we've discussed in chapters 1, 2, and 3, we discussed some things. John was given the instructions to write these things down, pin these words down, of course, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And chapter 2, chapter 3, we dealt with the letters to the churches. I want to say, first of all, the letters to the churches. I believe, as I said this morning, God's interested in the church. Amen? And He sent letters to the churches. A lot of people like to say that we're living in the Laodicean age, and that's the only letter that applies to our day. But I disagree with that. The letters was written to the churches. And all through those chapters, chapter 2 and chapter 3, we see the Scripture says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And so we can apply that even to our day. But we're starting chapter number 4. I'll begin reading in verse number 1. I'll read the entire chapter, and then we'll come back and see what the Lord has for us tonight. Chapter 4, verse 1. "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And around about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold." Now you remember that white raiment we talked about in chapter number 3. The Bible said there in verse number 18, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed." And so we talked about that in chapter number 3, how that white raiment was a picture and a type of spiritual clothing, amen. We talked about those in chapter 3 who were spiritually naked. Here we see that those around the throne are clothed in white raiment. Verse number 4, "And they had on their heads crowns of gold." Verse 5, "But out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast like a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, The 24 elders fall down before him that sit on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Let's read Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, tonight once again for the privilege, Lord, to be in Your house. I thank You for Your goodness and for Your grace, Lord, and for Your mercy. Thank You for allowing us to be back tonight. Lord, here I pray that You bless the reading of Your Word, bless the preaching tonight. Use me, speak through me, help me, Father. I do pray to say only that's pleasing tonight in Your sight. And I pray, God, You'd open up our understanding as we study the Scripture, Lord, as we did this morning on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. Lord, tonight, would You help us to see what You have for us tonight in these verses of Scripture? I know, Lord, we've studied this once before. We've been through this study in Revelation, but Lord, I pray that You show us something anew tonight. Help us, Lord, to glean from Scripture and leave here tonight saying it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. I pray Your will is accomplished, Your will is done. In Jesus' loving name I pray. Amen and amen. In Revelation chapter 4, begins the third, the largest, and the final division of the book of Revelation. In chapter number 1, verse 19, John was instructed, write these things which were, which are, and which shall come. Amen. Those things that which thou hast seen, those things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. And so we see that this is the third part. This takes place in chapter number 4, the things which are hereafter. In Revelation chapter 1, we find, Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, he was told the first thing was write these things which thou hast seen. Chapter 1 was the second thing, these things which are. Then chapter 2 and 3, we find the letters that were written to the churches. Those are the things which are. There again, I reiterate the fact that I believe the letters to the churches apply to the church of our day. These are the things which are. This is the church dispensation. We have, as we study our Bible, we have the timeline of dispensation. We know that God dealt with Israel until a point in time when God stopped dealing with Israel. There was a time out. And God stopped dealing with Israel. In the Bible, you study the 69 weeks of Daniel. In the 69th week is when God stopped dealing with Israel. He says, time out. Open the door to the Gentiles. So to provoke the Jews to jealousy, the door to the Gentiles was opened. That's the church age. That's where we're at now. Amen. So the letters to the churches apply to the churches. Amen. To even our day, the things which are. There will come a day when God begins to deal with Israel once again. In the 70th week of Daniel, will you find that in Daniel chapter number 9? In the 70th week of Daniel, God begins to deal with Israel once again. The church is no longer here. The dispensation of the church is raptured out. And so those who think that the church is going through the rapture obviously do not understand their Bible. They do not know anything about prophecy and what the Word of God says, because the church will not be here whenever God begins to deal in judgment with the world. The church is raptured out. The judgment begins to those that has rejected Christ and rejected the Lord, and begins to deal with Israel and those nations who have rejected God. And so we find that in these letters to the churches, they apply to us today, and that's in the things which are. And then we start in chapter number 4. We see these things which shall be hereafter. That starts chapter 4, continues to the rest of the book, as already said. And so we understand that true spiritual worship is one of the greatest needs of mankind. True spiritual worship. We need that in our life, and we need that in our churches. Somebody say amen right there. We need true spiritual worship. There's a lot of praise and worship mess that goes on in church. That's not true spiritual worship. Amen. We don't need that hyped up mess. We need true spiritual worship in our lives and in the churches. And we find that as we look, the scene changes now. In chapter number 2, chapter number 3, we're dealing with things on the earth. But the scene has changed now, chapter number 4, and we're going to heaven. Amen. John is carried away in spirit, not in body. He's carried away in spirit to heaven. And the Lord begins to show him some things. And we get a glimpse tonight of what true worship really is. Amen. The Bible says they was gathered around the throne. What were they doing around the throne? They was crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, great and powerful, honor and praise and glory." And they was casting crowns at the Savior's feet. Amen. They was worshiping around the throne. A true picture tonight of what worship really is. That's one of the greatest needs that we have. To worship Him means to use all that we have and all that we are to praise Him for all that He is and all that He does. And I'll say that again. That's good stuff right there. True worship, to worship Him means to use all that we have and all that we are to praise God for all that He is and all that He does. In verse number 1, we find the Scripture says, after this shows the sequence of the book of Revelation, to how the revelation was given to John. After the letter to the seven churches, then the prophetic events are revealed to John. After this, in verse number 1, John said, "I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. The first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." This is a beautiful picture, if there's ever been a beautiful picture in Scripture, of the rapture of the church. Amen. There's a door that's open, and John says, "I hear a voice as of a trumpet." I believe the Scripture says there's going to be a trumpet sound when Jesus comes and raptures the church. Amen. A beautiful picture of the church being raptured. And God says to John, "Come up hither. I will show thee things which must be hereafter." John illustrates what will happen to God's people when the church age has run its course. Heaven will open. Hallelujah. And there will be a voice and a sound of a trumpet, and the saints will be called up to heaven. Amen. What a day that's going to be. Looking forward to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52. The Bible says, "In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Amen. Here's another verse for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 13, "But I would have you not be ignorant, brethren." Boy, I'm telling you, we need to preach that to those that think we're living in the tribulation time. Amen. Don't be ignorant. Amen. Just study the Bible. "Would have you not be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus would God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And so John is giving us a beautiful picture here of the saints at the rapture of the church. What a day that'll be. Then and only then, when the church is raptured out, would God's judgment begin. Amen. Doesn't begin until then. We're not living through the tribulation. We're not going through that. And it's only after God's raptured His church that the tribulation will begin. Now, as we study chapter number 4, there's one word that is used many times in this chapter, and that word is the word throne. In chapter number 4, it's used 12 times, and it's also used 5 times in chapter number 5. Now, I'm going to give you a little nugget tonight. I'm going to let you soak on this and pray about this and ask God to help you. In chapter number 5, the word throne is mentioned 5 times. 5 is the number of grace. Ask God to help you. Read chapter number 5 and let God help you and speak to you. As you think on that thought, the word throne mentioned 5 times in chapter 5, and 5 is the number of grace. Study that. Let God speak to you as you read that. Amen. The key word is throne. The one thing to remember about the judgment of God is no matter what may happen, God's still on the throne. Amen. Doesn't matter what happens in this world or the world to come or whatever happens after the church is raptured out, God's still on the throne. Amen. He's always been on the throne. He always will be on the throne. Amen. No matter what happens. He's still on the throne. He's also still in complete control. Amen. He hasn't lost control. Nothing's occurred to him because he knows all things. Amen. As John enters into heaven in the Spirit, the first thing he sees is the throne. Now, it's not so much as the throne as it is the one sitting on the throne. Amen. It's not so much about the throne and the splendor of the throne as it is the one that's sitting on the throne. All right? Notice with me, he says, immediately I was in the Spirit, behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. We see here some things about the throne. First of all, I want you to see some things about who was on the throne. We're looking at who was on the throne, and of course this is God the Father. I believe that to be the truth, amen, that God the Father is there on the throne. The Bible teaches us in Revelation chapter number 5 that Christ, the Son of God, approaches the throne in chapter number 5. There the Bible asks, who's worthy to open the book? And no man's worthy to open the book. And Jesus steps to the throne, and He's worthy. He's the only one, hallelujah, that's worthy to open the book. And so I believe in chapter 4, the one that is sitting there on the throne to be God the Father. Amen. And the Bible says the jasper stone now, look with me in verse number 3, he that sat upon the throne, or sat, was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. Now, if you understand anything about stones, a jasper stone emphasizes the hardness connected with the government of God. Stay with me for just a minute, let me help you. The jasper stone emphasizes the hardness. You with me? The hardness of the government of God. What does that mean? That means that God's laws are firm. God's laws are not to be bent or broken. God says sin is sin. God says no, it's no. Amen. Now listen, God's laws are not to be broken and they're firm. And so the jasper is a hard stone and so are the laws of God. His laws are fixed. His laws are firm. They're unbending and relentless. All science is based on the hardness of God's laws. Let me say that again. All science is based on the hardness of God's laws. If you put a pot of water on the stove and begin to boil water, you expect to see steam. Is that right? You don't expect to see ice coming off that boiling pot of water. That's the firm laws of God. Amen. If you throw a stone off the top of this church, you get up there on the roof and you throw a rock off, you don't expect it to fly up in the air, you expect it to fall down. That's the laws of God. That's the firm, fixed, relentless, non-bending laws of God. Amen. God created all things, and all things were created by Him and for Him and through Him, and His laws are firm, they're fixed, and they're unbending. And all science is based on the hardness of God's laws. God's moral laws is just as firm as His physical laws. Amen. His moral laws are just as firm as His physical laws. If you put a pot of water on the stove and you boil water and you see steam, that's a physical law. You see that. That's just natural. It happens that way. If you see someone morally that says they're a child of God, you don't expect them to act like a heathen. It's just morally wrong. Amen? God's, listen, His moral laws are just as firm and fixed and unbending as His physical laws. According to the book of Psalms, chapter 2, verse number 9, the Lord Jesus will rule the earth with a rod of iron. Amen. He's going to come in judgment with a rod of iron, the very symbol of hardness and relentlessness. Now stay with me. That's the jasper stone. There's two stones. The second stone is a sardine stone. Sardine suggests holiness. Connected with the government of God because Sardis is a deep, fiery, flashing red stone. It reminds us that our God is a consuming fire. He's a jealous God. Amen. He's a God that's a consuming fire, the Scripture says. And God's attitude towards sin is a burning holiness. He hates sin, loves the sinner, but hates the sin. And His attitude always has been, always will be, a burning hate towards sin. Amen. He doesn't like that. He loves the sinner, but He hates sin. But the jasper and the sardine stone together, and they suggest the humanity of the government of God. The high priest of Israel, stay with me, listen now. The high priest of Israel was commanded to wear a breastplate studded with 12 precious stones engraved with the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. You'll find it in Exodus chapter number 28. Therefore, symbolically, the people were always upon the heart of the high priest. The first stone and the last stone was a jasper and a sardine stone. How about that? Does that say anything? That tells me that God loves me. Amen. God loves His people, and His people are close to His heart. Hey, listen. The Bible says he that set was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And that just tells us that He loves His people. We're close to His heart. We see affection. We see love there. The first and the last stone of the 12 stones was the jasper and the sardine stone. Out of the throne comes affection and love for God's people. Don't tell me we're living in the tribulation time. I don't believe it. Amen. Bible doesn't back that up. I believe God loves His children, and there is judgment for those that reject the Lord and reject God's teaching and reject the things of God. But listen, those that accept and those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He loves them, has an affection for them, and will not put them through the hour of temptation. That's fine. Amen. The sardine and the jasper stone. What a beautiful picture of the affection and love of the Lord has for His children. Verse number 3-5, the Bible says, He that sat upon the throne, or sat, was to look upon like a jasper and sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Now see, we started out with looking on the throne. Who was on the throne? Now we're looking around the throne. What is around the throne? Well, the Bible says there's a rainbow. The typical rainbow has many colors, but this is not a typical rainbow. This is one that has one color. And it's an emerald color. And the Bible says that it is an emerald. This speaks of the splendor that was around the throne. The rainbow was first given to Noah as a pledge that God would never again destroy the earth by water. And God is a God that keeps His word. God's a God who's faithful. Amen. I want to chat a little while on that. Amen. God's a God that's faithful. He's faithful to His people. He's faithful to His word. And the Bible teaches us that as we see the rainbow that was around the throne. Says to Noah that he'll never send judgment like that again to destroy the earth with water. The rainbow is a portrait of God's faithfulness. God's judgment is not contrary to His faithfulness. Just because judgment's on its way, that doesn't mean that God's not faithful, because God said in His Word that if you reject, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ and reject Him, that judgment day was coming, amen. He said that all throughout the Bible, that judgment was coming. He's going to judge the world. Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. And so we understand just because judgment is coming, that does not mean it's anything negative to say about God's faithfulness. It's a positive to say about God's faithfulness. Just as He said He would not send judgment in the way of a flood again, He's certainly going to keep His word and send in judgment. He's faithful, hallelujah, to His word. Amen. The rainbow was a complete circle. You ever seen a complete rainbow? I've seen one. You been to heaven? No. I've been in an airplane. I was up pretty close. You get up there in an airplane, you see a rainbow. Sometimes you can see a complete rainbow. Are you talking about beautiful? It's absolutely, I mean, it's unexplainable. You get up there in those clouds, get above the clouds, and you see a rainbow, and it's a complete circle. It's hard to explain just the feeling you get seeing that. Here we see there was a rainbow. It was a complete circle. It wasn't a half arch. It was a complete circle. You know what that says to us tonight? As we look at that rainbow that was around the throne. First of all, that God's faithful in His Word. God's faithful to keep His Word. He's faithful in His judgment. And He's faithful to everything He's ever said. But it also teaches us a lesson that the circle of the rainbow is a symbol of perfection. God is perfect in everything that He does. God makes no mistakes. Hello, transgenders. Hello. Is everybody listening? God makes no mistakes. If you're a boy, God made you that way. If you're a girl, God made you that way. God does not make mistakes. And God does not make mistakes when it comes to judgment and dealing with those who have rejected Him. The circle is a symbol of perfection. And God's judgment will be flawless. Amen. There'll be no flaws in His judgment. Now we see, as we continue to look at these scriptures, I'm telling you, this thing is so loaded with stuff. I mean, it's just nuggets every other word. I'm finding stuff as I was studying. I said, Lord, I don't have time for all that tonight. And so I'm trying to just give you some things that'll help you. Around about the throne, the Bible says in verse number 4, were 4 and 20 seats. Now listen, those seats, there's something special about those seats. The Bible says there's one that sat on the throne. But around the throne are seats. Those are seats of judgment. The one that's sitting on the throne is casting judgment on a wicked, ungodly, rebellious world. And those around the throne are sitting in seats of judgment. What? Know ye not that we shall judge the angels? That's the scripture. Amen. The 4 and 20 represent the elders that's sitting there on the throne. I've talked about this before, mentioned it before. I'll say it again for the sake of the message tonight. The number 24. Where does that come from? Why is there 24 elders? The number 24 represents the 12 patriarchs of the Old Testament and the 12 disciples of the New Testament. That 12 and 12 of the Old Testament, 12 of the New Testament, makes 24, which represents the church age, which represents all the saints that will be seated around the throne. Amen. God's children will be there around the throne, and we will be judges who judge the world. Hello? Amen? Y'all with me? Well, preacher, I didn't know I was going to be a judge. Well, you better read your Bible. Amen. The Bible says, like I already said, I'll mention it again. The Bible says, know ye not that we shall judge the angels. We're going to be judges. Now, we're talking about the angels there, the fallen angels, those that left with Satan. And listen, those that had rebelled. And we're going to judge them. We're going to be judges that sit around the throne. The 20 and 4 seats represent the elders, which represent the saints of God. The word seat has the same word as throne. It's a lesser seat, but still places us in honor in heaven. The elders are representatives of the church. The scripture identifies them as the redeemed. Look with me, chapter 5, real quickly, and let me show you this. Chapter 5, look with me, verse number 8. The Bible says, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 4 and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of what? The saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So the 24 elders that's around the throne represent every kindred, tongue, people, and nation who has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. That's who they are. Hallelujah. Amen. It represents every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. The Bible also goes on to say, verse number 5 of chapter 4, if we go back there, upon the seats I saw 4 and 20 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. That white raiment, this speaks of the righteousness of the saints. We talked about that in chapter number 3 and verse number 18, where the Lord had said to the church, and to the church to get some, to put on the raiment, to buy some raiment, to buy some clothing, because they were spiritually naked. In chapter 3, verse 18, again, and it says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. He's talking to the church. And now we come to chapter number 4. The scene is changed from earth, and we're in heaven. John seeing the throne, those around about the throne, and the scripture says they're clothed in white raiment. They were spiritual. Hallelujah. And there was something special about those that were around the throne. They didn't throw in the towel on God. Amen. They were faithful, and they was true to His Word, and they were saved by the grace of God, and they didn't turn back. Amen. During the battle, they were faithful. This speaks of the righteousness of the saints, not because of their good deeds, but because they accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. Also speaks of victory. These were the overcomers. We study that through the scriptures. Also, the being overcomer, those who overcome. Listen, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To be an overcomer, be zealous therefore, and repent, and overcome that temptation and those things. Verse 21 of chapter 3, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. God's a God that keeps His word. Amen. And we see that He promised to the church that the overcomer would be granted a seat in the throne of heaven. And in chapter 4, John sees that. There they are. They're clothed in raiment and they're sitting by the throne. That's victory. Hallelujah. Amen. That's glorious victory. They were overcomers who had conquered, who have conquered because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Their crowns represent the rewards and the honor for the redeemed. Notice with me again in chapter 4 and verse number 4. We see the 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. I don't have time tonight to get into all the crowns that's mentioned in the Scripture, but there are crowns that are mentioned. One is a pastor's crown, and only pastors can have that crown. And there's a crown for faithfulness. There's a crown for those that are, listen, are faithful to the Lord and faithful to the ministry, faithful in their attendance and faithful in their tithing and faithful to the Bible reading and just faithful to God. There's a reward for that. There's a crown for that. There's a soul winner's crown for those that see souls saved and try to win people to the Lord. There's a crown for that. And the Bible says here are these elders that are sitting around the throne and they're clothed in white raiment that speaks of their righteousness, that speaks of their victory, and they had upon their heads crowns of gold. That's not to say that we're great and we're going to do something spectacular because we're crowned with gold. That just simply means we have something to cast at His feet. My friend, I don't want to be there empty-handed. I spoke about that before. These crowns, these are rewards, these are honors that are given unto the saints, those that are redeemed. We earn those here on this earth by the spiritual life that we live. Faithfulness, amen, and a lot of other things. And I'll maybe share some of those things with you as we study this and deal with those crowns. Maybe I need to go that direction next so you understand which crowns are mentioned in Scripture, and you can gain all of those except for the pastor's crown unless God calls you to pastor church. Ladies, sorry, you'll never have one of those. Amen. The crowns represent the rewards and the honor for the redeemed. Hey, listen, just because you didn't get the pastor's crown, there's many others. Amen. And it's honor. It's victory that we have something to cast at His feet. Verse number 5, now we've looked around the throne. Now we're going to come to verse number 5. We're going to look at what's coming out of the throne. Verse 5, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. My. As John's looking there at the throne, can you picture? I know it's hard to imagine and see what John saw. But John is sitting there looking and he sees in heaven there's one that sat on the throne and gives a brief description. You know, words cannot describe what John saw. Only thing John could do is compare what he saw to a stone. Could not explain what he saw. There's no way human words can explain what John saw and trying to explain what was sitting on the throne. The God, the holy God that sat upon him. John couldn't explain it. But just imagine, if you would, what he's seeing there. And he's at the throne. It's a circle around a rainbow, a color of emerald or green. And there's those 24 elders sitting around the seats around the throne. And they're all clothed in white raiment and they've got crowns of gold on their head. They've won the victory. Hallelujah. They've made it. Hallelujah. They're overcomers. He sees them. Then out of the throne, he begins to hear these thunderings and lightnings and these voices coming from the throne. What does that mean? Well, I don't know if you know anything about storms or not. Most of us do. But what happens before a storm comes? There's lightning. Normally, sometimes you'll hear a rumble off in the distance. And then you'll see a little flash of light. And listen, the storms are coming. John says, hey, listen, I'm looking around the throne and I hear thunderings and lightnings and voices. What John is simply saying is that out of the throne is a reminder that judgment's on its way. Judgment's coming. Before the storm, there's lightning and there's thunder. And that sounds, or that gives us an understanding that the storm is on its way. These are what was called storm signals. And they will be repeated all during the time of judgment. There'll be lightnings and thunderings and voices proceeding from the throne and the temple of God. God has prepared His throne for judgment. Judgment day is coming. Amen. As we see that in the Scripture, judgment is on its way. John has heard the thunder. He's heard the rumble of the thunder. He saw the lightning. And God said it was going to happen. And God's faithful to His Word. Revelation chapter 8, let me read you a verse of Scripture real quickly. Revelation chapter 8, verse 5. The angel took the censer, filled it with the fire of the altar, cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. All throughout judgment, we'll see that Revelation chapter 11. Let me give you this real quickly. I share this one with you. Revelation chapter 11, verse 19. There again, the Bible says, and the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in His temple the ark of His testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail during the judgment of God. In chapter number 18 or 16 of the book of Revelation, chapter 16, verse 18, again the Bible says, and there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. Hey, God's going to send earthquake. He's going to send judgment to this world and to this earth because they have rejected Him. They've rejected His work, and He's going to deal with them in judgment, but the church will not go through that. Hallelujah. Amen. The 24 elders, that represents us. The crowns on their head, that represents our rewards, our victory. Glory to God. I ought to shout a little while right there. Amen. We're not going through the judgment. We're not going to suffer through that. And God has given John a glimpse of heaven and what it's going to be like after the church is raptured out. Now the Bible says in verse 6, and before the throne, I talked about that a little bit, before the throne, with the latter part of verse number 5, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, and there were, which are the seven spirits of God. Not only as we see the throne, as I mentioned this morning, the seven spirits represent the completeness, the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. The 24 elders is there around the throne. The completed Holy Spirit is there around the throne. And there's going to be judgment on placed upon the earth. There'll be no lies told. There'll be no enticing done. There'll be no buying your way out of it. God's judgment is sure. The Holy Spirit's going to be there with a final word, with a final record. And God's going to deal in judgment. And there'll be no excuses for those that have rejected the Lord. Judgment's coming. Before the throne also, not just the Holy Spirit before the throne, but then there's before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. You ever seen the sea? Listen close. You ever seen the sea that's not moving? I've never seen it not move. Every time I've saw the sea, it's a rolling. It's throwing the waves or rolling over, and it's white capping, usually when the winds are blowing. The sea's never still. The sea's always moving. Here, John sees something in heaven I don't think anybody ever sees till heaven. But it's a picture that he sees. And he says there was a sea of glass likened to crystal. It's the very foundation that all this is based upon the throne. The sea was still as crystal glass. It was transparent. The foundation around the throne was transparent, meaning that God's Word was sure, God's Word was true, and there's going to be things seen that no man has ever seen before. Amen. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the fourth beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third had the face, the third beast had the face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him. They were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Let me say this about the beast tonight. That just teaches and tells us that all creation will worship the Lord. Amen. Everything that's ever been created will worship Him. And the Bible says they were round about the throne, didn't rest day nor night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders, that's us, hallelujah, fall down before Him that sat on the throne. Watch what they do. And they worship Him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, including those beasts that we just read about. And for Thy pleasure, they are and were created. As we look at the final verses verses of chapter number 4, we see that the 24 elders are falling down. These are the ones that had overcome. These are the ones that had the victory. And John saw them in glory with crowns of gold about their head. They had won the victory. They had stayed faithful. They won the faithful crown or the soul winner's crown or whichever crown it was that they had been honored with. And they find themselves before the throne and they begin to worship the Lord. And the Bible says they take those crowns off their head because it's not our righteousness which we have done. It's not our good deeds that's got us there, but it's the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Amen. Hallelujah. That gets us to the throne, and it's by His grace and His power, and He deserves all glory and all honor, and we take those crowns and we'll cast them before His feet because He's worthy of our praise. It's not by our goodness and our righteousness we make it there, but it's by His. Hallelujah. Thou art worthy. Hey, they cry this forever and forever throughout all eternity. Thou art worthy. Oh Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, Thou hast created all things. For Thy pleasure they are, and were created. It's His pleasure, for His pleasure. We bow before the throne and worship Him. What a day that'll be. Forever and ever. Hallelujah. Worshiping Him because of who He is. What a day. Amen. I hope that's a blessing and a help to you tonight as we look at chapter number 4. This just the beginning as we begin to look at what's going to take place. Chapter number 5. Study that before Thursday night. Read chapter number 5. Ask God to show you the significance in chapter 5 and the word throne mentioned 5 times and the number 5 meaning grace. God showed me something in your word. What does that mean? I promise you, if you'll do that, God will bless your blesser. Amen. He'll show you something in these verses. Pray for the service on Thursday night. Lord willing, we'll be looking at chapter number 5. May go back and hit a few more things in chapter number 4 and touch on some more things that's there as we begin studying the prophetic events that's coming around the throne, on the throne, and out of the throne, and before the throne. My, my. What a beautiful picture that we see in these verses. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the wonderful privilege You've given us to be in Your house tonight.